The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's us, your hosts of Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
Awesome. How are you doing?
You should have done the low one.
I should. How are you doing today, Big JD?
Oh, I'm doing swell, thanks.
You're swell.
That sounds like a Little Rascals thing. I'm doing swell, thanks.
When will the swelling go down? You should put some ice on that.
Here we go again. Here we go. What's that?
You should put some ice on that.
Oh. Ice on the swelling.
Yes.
That's like a name, good name for a punk band.
Ice on the swelling.
Ice on the swelling. So what's happening?
Swelling on the ice.
You've been having some fun lately.
I went
to a concert.
I did go to a concert on Tuesday night at Meadowbrook Theater in beautiful, where is that at even? It's in Oakland.
Meadowbrook.
Yeah, it's on the campus of Oakland University. And
there you go. What'd you see?
I saw Doyle Bramall, awesome guitar player, was in the band called the Archangels way back in the way back days, which was Charlie Sexton and the rhythm section for Stevie Ray Vaughan's band. And mm-hmm. then he hooked up with Eric Clapton for all the Robert Johnson tribute stuff and other projects he was working on in that span of time as well. And now he's got his own band and he's touring with the Tedeschi Trucks band. That's who I went and seen. And the act in between was Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. And the Dap Kings, from what I understand, is the band that was that backed up Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were originally with Sharon Jones, but then Amy hired them away, and that's who she toured with. I don't know if they did any recording with her, but the Dap Kings are, you know, I think they're just all session dudes, and they have a label of their own called Daptone Records. Are you familiar with that at all?
No.
So, yeah, so that's what I did on Tuesday. It was an amazing show. Like Sharon Jones, she has 12 people on stage. Tedeschi Trucks has 12 people on stage.
Wow.
I know, it's
big bands.
Big bands. And then at the end, they all came out. Everybody came out.
Oh, wow.
And so I was thinking, there's a drummer going to be left out here. I was thinking the drummer for the, oh no, both drummers. Yeah. So they both switched off. So the drummers had to switch off in the middle of the, they did a Sly and the Family Stone medley. And it was just amazing because they had, Sharon Jones has two chick backup singers,
mm-hmm.
and Tedeschi Trucks has two guys and a girl. So they had five of them for this tune, and they had six people in a horn section, and like, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, a lot of people sing in the songs, like, you know what I mean? So they get,
ooh, nice. I like that.
I gotta be quiet because we have neighbors. So, yeah, it was awesome.
In the neighboring studio.
The neighboring
there's studio. Podcasting going on while we're trying to actually do real broadcasting. And, yeah, Sly and the Family Stone is everybody still alive? They're not doing anything.
No. From what I heard, Sly was living in a van.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he got ripped off. One of the many people who were taken advantage of back in those days.
Well, they could do a comeback concert, and I bet it would be...
I think it's all
pretty
about,
big deal.
I think it's all about the publishing. He didn't own any of the publishing.
Yeah.
So he just
so even it. Going out and doing it now, he probably doesn't own anything, and it might not have rights to even go do that.
Yeah.
Or you think he'd be making some money now, right?
Right. Exactly. So I don't know. Yeah, I read a little bit of an interview, and he sounded relatively bitter, as I would be too. But at the same time, he knew that back then it was just a big ride that you're on. You know, you just sign here and here's all the coke you want, and we got shows lined up from here to all eternity, and you just go out and have a good time with your family and write some awesome tunes. So that's what happened to him.
And I wanted to ask you about something else that you went to, which was not actually music related, but broadcast related.
Yeah, it was the Midwest Mac Barbecue, and basically every year I would go to Macworld Expo, which I would thought at some point you and I would attend together. That never happened, and then this year it was...
I'm an infrequent flyer.
Exactly. So this year there wasn't one. Like, after Apple pulled out, they tried to keep it up, try to rebranding it, try to present it a different way, and it just never worked out. So this year there wasn't one, and so since there wasn't a Macworld Expo, a gentleman I know, Barry Folk, organized an event so that all these people could show up for a barbecue just to get together and a network and everything. And then I think someone realized, hey, since all these people are going to be here, let's have another event, not fun related, but it was called Mac Stock. So a bunch of people went up and gave talks and they had a lunch and stuff. So that was kind of, you know, fun as well. But I didn't do the Mac Stock thing. I brought my girlfriend with me, and that would have been like 6 hours in Chicago of, you know, she's not going to be interested in that. So I didn't do that aspect of it.
She could always go shopping.
She could, but I don't know. Maybe next year. I'll do the Mac Stock thing. And it's probably going to be an actual 2-day event, the Mac Stock thing. And then on the second night, we'll probably have the barbecue. And I'm not sure that it'll probably be much larger. But this was in Barry's backyard, the barbecue. So, you know, there's 100 people in his backyard. And
yeah.
It was a ton of fun, that's for sure. Great time, and
look cool. Saw pictures and whatnot.
Yeah,
looks like it was a lot of fun, and maybe I'll get to that one day. How'd you guys get there?
We drove.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
I don't mind that idea.
Borrowed my girlfriend's minivan, threw the bicycles in there, and you don't have to get close to anything.
Yeah, I saw a picture. You guys were riding on a trail, and there was a deer in front of you. That was cool.
Yeah, it's interesting that Chicago is very smart in their planning. They have this strip of natural space that runs from
a Central Park.
Well, this is like 20 miles long, maybe even 25 miles long, of this trail and path that I know my buddy used to live in Chicago.
Is it just narrow, though, that path?
It's relatively narrow in some spots. Where we were, it was narrow. I know my buddy, he lived about 15 miles north of where we were, and it was called Bussy Woods, and that was, I know it was way open, like big, wide open fields and brush and stuff. But where we were at, it's interesting that you say there's deer there, and there's river, and there's fish jumping up. But you get out of this. It's just a massive humanity city. Yeah. It's crazy how that, you know, that all works. So the deer will come relatively close to you. I mean, you can't touch them, but they'll stay about 30 feet away from you. But you can look at them really close, and they just check you out, and you check them out. But having the bicycles, if you ever go to Chicago, bring a bicycle with you. Even if you're doing the downtown touristy thing, they have all kinds of ways to get around if you got your bike with you. And you don't have to worry about parking. Park way out and then come into the city on your bicycle. Especially if you can park near the, there's a path that goes all along the lake. That's just gorgeous.
Yeah, Chicago's pretty cool until you've gone to New York. So what's the show on today?
Today's show is, if you listen to last week's show, you know it's on Elvis Presley.
Great.
The King.
So we'll be getting into that and some news coming up on Megadeth, Avenged Sevenfold, / Deep Purple Buddy Guy, Warren Haynes, and whatever Lippo's got on tap for us. And we'll be back right after this.
And we're back.
So let's see what we got here. Avenged Sevenfold releasing 3 exclusive tracks in Guitar Hero. And we've talked, and I think probably on the morning show, we talked about using music for advertising, repurposing music, all those kind of different things.
Right.
So that's some pretty cool stuff that, you know, being able to use your music for things like that,
well,
or advertising and whatnot.
It's just another revenue thing that
stream, sure.
Because the traditional venue or traditional avenues of revenue is not there anymore. So doing this kind of thing, you know that you're going to have so many people actually listening to your music in a different setting.
Slash has talked out recently about the difference between analog and what he calls as faceless digital music. I'm digital all the way, man.
But it's still faceless.
All gotta be digital.
Where's the face?
Triple D.
Triple D.
Yeah, forget the double D. Let's go triple D.
Wow. Well, he says it's faceless.
Recording, mixing, and mastering all digital.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I get it. But the digital world, man, is just so cool.
Well, when you're as prolific as you are, you got to
prolific.
You got to get it done so you can get on to the next thing.
Yeah. Buddy Guy jams with the Rolling Stones.
Like always. If you ever watched the movie Shine a Light, which you and I went and saw that at the IMAX thing, didn't we?
Yeah. That was the Scorsese film.
Yeah, Buddy that guy, was cool. Buddy Guy showed up at that as well.
Big honking screen.
That's a big honking screen, yeah.
I'd like to see something else there sometime. Deep Purple announces a couple live releases. Warren Haynes streaming a new song, Beat Down the Dust.
Yeah, he's coming out with a new album, Something in Ashes. Dust in Ashes, if I'm not mistaken. You probably have it in front of you there.
I don't.
Okay, well, yeah, he's coming out with an album.
And it's interesting. Make me dig into it?
It's interesting that the way they release music nowadays, especially the indie artists that, you know, the guys who aren't getting music played on the radio, what they'll do is they'll go to places like the New York Times, the Huffington Post, and they'll give them one song to preview it. So it'll be on this magazine or this website's site, sure, mm-hmm, for a certain period of time before the actual album comes out. So you can preview it on a website.
Yeah.
It's a very common thing now, and it's great to see innovation as far as, you know, selling music and getting it out to the public. That's for sure. Because mm-hmm, I'm sure these media outlets, like, you know, Huffington and New York Times and whatever else, Rolling Stone's another one, they give them so much per stream every time, you know, people are going there specifically to listen to this track, right?
Right,
and then,
yeah.
And then there's ads on that page, and then mm-hmm, those people...
Another marketing ploy.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it that they're getting innovative like this. And then there's the story with Apple's streaming service.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, actually. Yeah.
That Apple wasn't going to pay the labels, which in turn the labels won't pay the artists, during the free trial period, which mm-hmm, was 3 months.
Oh, that's a long trial period.
That's the longest.
For people not to get paid.
Yeah, so there's people getting their music streamed, but they're not getting any money for it. But at the same time, they can't say no to Apple because Apple's streaming service has a very high likelihood of being successful.
And what do you think that's going to be like compared to something like Spotify?
It's going to be right up there because they have so much money to throw at.
Are they offering something more than Spotify?
There is aspects. There are features within the Apple Music you know, ecosystem on your phone, on your iPad, and on your Mac that is not part of Spotify. And, you know, of course, there's going to be the exclusives thing, and they also have a social thing that's not necessarily for the listeners. It's more for the artists to be in touch with people who are streaming their music.
So, and that's important nowadays, too, the artists to be in touch closely with their fans.
Right. So, you know,
like the house parties nowadays, artists performing in people's houses now.
Exactly.
That's, you got to make money. There's no other way now.
It's very interesting how music's value is really coming more in line with what it's really worth to the people. Because a lot of people say that $10 is too much per month for all the music you can listen to.
Yeah, because people are getting so used to listening for free now and downloading and all those kind of things now that...
Yeah, but I don't think kids these days, I don't think they're doing the downloading thing.
Well, as kids much don't as, have money either, really.
Right. So the way that most kids listen to music is... We talked about this before.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. It's YouTube.
Yeah,
they hop
YouTube's
on YouTube.
Got all the music.
Yeah, they got all
full albums, whatever. They put a picture up there for the video and just play the whole album.
Right. Yeah. So that's the way most kids listen to music. And now that you just play one song, it'll just play another song based on the first song that you listened to.
Now, I'm surprised YouTube doesn't get in more trouble for having some of these copywritten things up there, though.
Well, it's the same thing as with Apple. Like, the artists have to cooperate with YouTube, because if there was no YouTube, a lot of artists would not get any exposure.
That's true too. There's always that catch 22, right?
Exactly.
So. Pretty much. So, speaking of valuable music, the show is on Elvis today, and we'll be back with all kinds of Elvis right after this. And finally, today's show topic, Elvis Presley.
Yeah, the king. The guy who pretty much single-handedly rose rock and roll into the stratosphere, like took it to the next level. You know, there was the whole black music and gospel and blues. You know, he took those songs and made him his own, because he didn't write a lot of music, Elvis Presley. He just performed a lot of music.
Performed a lot, but he did write, you know, I guess, some degree, some share of his music, unlike a lot of other artists like, you know, Sinatra and things like that, that were huge and didn't really write anything.
Right. And I think that in the early days, though, Elvis didn't really do that much writing. I think once he had a good band behind him, and he was like his band, whereas early, right at the beginning, it was more or less the band that whatever the recording company or the studio had available to him. You know, he had the session guys, and that's pretty much who ended up picking up in the long run. But yeah, but he's the guy who started it, the king of rock and roll.
Yeah.
When were you first exposed to the Elvis?
Oh, it was very early on. My parents had Elvis albums.
Is that right? Yeah. See, it wasn't like that in my house. We weren't Elvis aficionados in my house.
No?
No. It was more Beatles and more British Invasion type stuff. So I guess it was later than Elvis, because when Elvis first started there in the late 50s, whatever, my parents were still listening to big band stuff, and it was all the kind of music that was being played, I'm sure.
I think we had Elvis's back, and I want to say something like, I'm just taking a look here on the actual Elvis website, elvis.com, and I don't see another album that I thought that we might have had with him in an army uniform or something, maybe called G.I. Blues or something, an actual album, but... I don't recall exactly what all we had. That, Monkees. We had some Elvis 45s.
Sure, yeah. Elvis started with Sam Phillips and Sun Records, which Sun Records pretty much got its start because Elvis just took off so, you know, stratospherically, if that's a word. And he, in 1954, he cut some acetate. There was That's All Right. That was
That's All Right.
My mama, That's All Right.
Yeah, that's cool. Elvis was cool, man. He dressed cool. He looked cool. He moved cool. In fact, when he was on television in the very early years there, they wouldn't show him from the waist down because his moves were too cool.
Right.
For school.
But he got all that from somebody else. Like, you know, it was all the black dudes.
Yeah, well, I think we always, you know, pull things from somewhere and then
right and then we add our own little
whatever. Add our own or sometimes just they get kind of made into your own if people aren't that familiar with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know his middle name?
Aaron.
That's right. Elvis Aaron Presley. And he was born in 1935, January 8th, 1935.
Presley made his first two television appearances on NBC's Milton Berle show.
Wow. Uncle Milty.
Uncle Milty, and that was on April 3rd.
Who once said, laughter is like an instant vacation.
He's the guy who said that?
He's the guy. It is. And he was so right.
For sure. And that's when the nation basically got turned on to him. And then, of course, Burl's show drew such high ratings that Presley was booked for a July 1st appearance on the Steve Allen show in New York. Allen, no fan of rock and roll, introduced a new Elvis in a white bow tie and black tails. And he sang Hound Dog, which is a tune we're going to hear today on the show. I brought that along. Of course, then there's the legendary Ed Sullivan appearances when the chicks were just going crazy. And that was when girls literally were screaming in the audiences because they had never witnessed anything like that. And they were getting off on seeing, you know, this crazy dude shaking his hips and looking hot to all these girls, right?
Yep.
And it was okay for these girls to do that in that setting, you know, and they had never had an outlet to, you know, let all that loose, which, you know, there's all that whatever sexual innuendo that was going on, and all these chicks were getting turned on to it. It's funny I say the word chicks, because I do another show and I use that word, the word chicks, and
gets edited.
No, people complain.
Yeah, well, they would. It's like, what do you call that? It's kind of politically incorrect, or
that's all it is. It's politically
incorrect. And what's your other show?
The other show is
Plug It.
Plug it, baby.
Plug it, man.
It's iChart Radio. That's EYE Chart Radio. Just look for it on iTunes. It's with Ken Ray, Mr. Mac OS Ken.
Okay, that's enough.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that's cool. Yeah, check out iChart Radio.
Where you won't hear me say the word chicks ever again.
No, you can say it here all you want, chicks. So, chicks. Let's listen to some chicks, Elvis chicks.
What does that mean?
Elvis chicks? I'm getting chicks in everywhere.
Oh, chicklets.
We're going to have chicks calling the show in... Probably just asked about
Elvis. Well, it's funny you say that, because the word chick, I think, came about in this era.
It's from Elvis.
In the 50s.
Didn't he design that word?
Well, it was the... Well, I think it was radio DJs. All the
was chicks a 60s thing or a 50s thing or what?
I think late 50s. It was guys and gals.
And did then, we do a show on music lingo? Maybe we should do that.
Music lingo.
Yeah. Like chicks and, you know.
Groupie.
Groupie, yeah. I don't do that anymore.
Cans.
Whoa. Groupie and cans. Goes together like.
Nice set of cans, JD.
You brought along Hound Dog.
Yeah. Want to give it a listen?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class.
Really like the I like Elvis doing cover songs. I love that, and I really like a lot of his live stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I especially like the live covers. But I chose some other stuff.
You're going the other route.
Yeah,
going down the less traveled.
Picked path. A few songs that I really like by Elvis, and this is one of them here. I really like the little break part where this song slows down. Oh man, kind of moving and really cool and. You know that he puts his heart and soul into what he did. So this is called Suspicious Minds.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you do? When you don't believe a word I say, we can't go on together.
says don't let a good thing die. But honey, you know I've never lied to you.
Suspicious Minds, Elvis, and coming up in the show, a couple of great interviews on the You Talking to Me segment of the show, and that's Frank E. Cross, who is a big Elvis tribute artist here in the city.
It's not Frankie, but it's Frank E.
Frank E., yeah. I mean, local from here, but he travels all over the place, U.S. and Canada, and it's the tribute thing is huge, man. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So there are a lot of Elvi around.
Elvi.
And as well, Kay Maher, who has a big Elvis fan club that is registered with Graceland. She's quite the collector of Elvis memorabilia. So I'll also be talking to her on the show, and that's coming up shortly. What else you got on Elvis?
Well, if you didn't know, he was also somewhat of a movie star.
He was somewhat. And actually, when I talked to Frank, he was telling me that Elvis didn't care that much for being in the movies.
Yeah, I bet he didn't.
It was all about the music for him.
Sure, because making movies, as you know, Big JD, is somewhat of a...
It's a lot of work.
It's
grueling for actors, too. It's a lot of time.
That's what I'm saying. It's the time thing. So, you know, you sit
People
around,
don't realize that.
Hurry up and wait, and then you're asked to be on the spot after just doing all this waiting and sitting around all of a sudden. Okay, be Elvis.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just saw somebody post something.
Give me a drink.
They posted a picture of three computer monitors and papers and, you know, stacks of stuff and shot lists and all that stuff and said something about, you know, this is making movies. And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot more than just the, you know, lights, camera, action.
Yeah, so. It's. I'm sure it was something that was forced upon him because someone felt that they can make a lot of money, and it was something that could, you know, boost.
I thought his movies were cool, though. Anyway,
well, they were.
Seeing Elvis do anything was cool. I thought.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. He was in 31 feature films.
Wow.
Despite a strong, promising start with Jailhouse Rock and King Creole. Mm-hmm. Which came after Love Me Tender, which was his first movie. Following his return from a military obligation, he was in the Army as well. Were made cheaply and quickly to keep costs low and profits high. Yeah, so they were, you know, they were what they were. Like I said, you know,
especially for the time too. And Elvis, they just punched stuff out, man.
Right. Just let's go to the beach.
Get it out.
And shoot three quarters of the film.
Yep, chicks.
Yeah, get the girls in the bikinis and. Let's push this to the limit, basically, is what that all boiled down to, I think.
All right, moving along, Frank E. Cross, Elvis tribute artist, joins me on You Talking to Me, as well as Kay Maher, right after this.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right, you're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. And my first guest today, Frank Cross, is an award-winning ETA. That stands for Elvis Tribute Artist. Elvis, hailed the King of Rock and Roll, has had an impact on music like very few artists have ever achieved. And while there's no shortage of Elvis tribute artists and up-and-comers, my guest today is a veteran ETA, and he performs in Canada as well as the U.S., and I'm amazed at how hardworking he is as an Elvis tribute artist. I've been fortunate enough to see him perform live, and he does an amazing job at portraying the king himself, and he joins us live right here on the show today. Frank Cross, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, Big JD, how's it going?
It's going great. It's great to have you on the show. Maybe we can start with what got you interested in becoming an Elvis tribute artist and how long you've been doing this for.
Oh, I've always loved Elvis, and I've seen many of ETAs, Elvis tribute artists, through the years. And in 2008, I decided to join them and paying tribute to the King of Rock and Roll.
What did you do musically prior? I mean, did you sing before in a band or, you know, a tribute artist to somebody else possibly? Or, like, what did you do?
No, I just, I used to do karaoke stuff. I did Roy Orbison, some Johnny Cash, and some Bob Seger, but always loved the Elvis stuff, so I decided to do that and let my hair grow out and became an Elvis tribute artist. It's my real hair that I wear.
Yeah, a lot of them wear wigs, right? So.
Right.
Yeah. And the sideburns, they real?
Oh, yes.
I'm just kidding, yeah. That's the cool thing about Elvis. Elvis always looked pretty cool, so it's kind of cool to look like Elvis, right?
Very cool.
Yeah. And his, obviously the clothing is some pretty wild stuff that he wore, and it was pretty innovative. The collar-up thing and all that stuff. And, I know that you do all that. Have you seen Elvis live in concert?
No, I wish I would have seen. I had a chance to see him in Pontiac, Michigan in 1976. At that time, I was 13 years old, but I didn't go. I wish I would have went.
Now, do people use the term impersonator still, or is that like kind of gone by the wayside?
Well, yeah, some people still do call them impersonators, but not as much as they used to. They're now realizing that we're Elvis tribute artists, and we're paying a tribute to the man. We're not mimicking him or making fun of him. We're just trying to be a little bit like him, about a 16th of what he actually was.
Maybe we can talk a little bit more about your interest in the King. Do you have like a favorite song by him, or maybe a favorite song that you like to perform?
I'd have to say American Trilogy's got to be my favorite song that Elvis did. He was very patriotic to his country, and I would say that was probably my favorite song. I love performing that song.
Is there like a favorite album that he did that you like, or a favorite era time? Is it the time that you do now, or?
Actually, I do all three eras, but I like all of his albums. I like all of his music, but if I had to choose, I would have to say A Aloha from Hawaii has got to be my most favorite album.
So you cover all the eras then. Do you prefer a particular era over the other, you know, or this?
I more lean towards the 70s. I like the concert years, but the flashy suits.
What about movies? Do you have a favorite Elvis movie?
I would have to say my favorite one would be Blue Hawaii, but right next to his Girls, Girls, Girls. They're both very, very good. Elvis really didn't like doing the movie stuff, but I would say that's my two favorites.
He didn't like doing the movies?
No, he didn't like doing none of that kind of stuff. He was more interested in doing his singing and having fun. He wasn't really much interested in doing the movies, but he did them.
Well, he definitely seemed to have fun all the time. And that's something that comes through with the Elvis tribute artists, and something that, you know, I would see you doing. Now, I've seen some videos of you on your website, and, you know, we'll get a little bit into where listeners can check you out online and whatnot. But when I saw you, you performed, it was like, you know, you had a music accompaniment. But I've also seen you, I think, performing with artists or a band. And so, I mean, even when I saw you, you have to put that fun that Elvis had into your show. So you were looking like sort of next to you, behind you, as if there were other artists there, which Elvis obviously did a lot, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You have to play it out for the fans. You got to play out just as if you are Elvis. Once you're on the stage, I stay in character. And once I get off, I'm back to Frank Cross. I don't walk around town thinking I'm Elvis Presley, because I'm not even close. I'm just out having fun.
Now, it obviously entails a lot being an Elvis tribute artist. I kind of know firsthand, having taken part in a recent event that you put on, which was the second annual Windsor Superstar Competition. So tell us how often you perform, and maybe a couple of the notable places maybe or events that you performed at.
I perform at least once a week, and I've performed as far west as Calgary, Alberta, as far east as New York, state of New York, and as far south as Aruba, to crowds from anywhere from 50 fans to thousands of Elvis fans, and some with live concert bands and others with track shows. I just love putting a smile on people's faces. That's my goal, is making sure everybody leaves happy and wanting more.
And that's something I want to talk about, too, is the fans. When you say putting a smile on people's faces, I mean, whether it's Elvis for real or an Elvis tribute artist, people just dig that so much, like watching Elvis perform, whether it's a tribute artist or not. And it seems that they're really into this and loyal, and sometimes seem as though they feel that you're the real deal. So, I mean, do you get asked for autographs and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yes, we do lots of autographs, and I hand out scarves same way Elvis did, and everybody always comes after the show and want to get a picture and get the scarf signed, and I sign it as Frank Cross. I don't sign it as Elvis, because I'm not, but I sign it as Frank Cross with an ETA on the bottom, Elvis Tribute Artist.
Right, and I was just going to ask you whether you sign as Elvis or sign your own
name. No, definitely not.
Do you typically do the same show? I mean, when you do like a particular performance, do you go through any of the eras, or do you do, you know what I mean, a particular era for a show?
If I'm doing a complete show by myself, I will go from the 50s. I'll do like 15 to 20 minutes of the 50s, and then come back out in a 68 comeback leathers, mm-hmm. and do like a 35-minute show of that, and then take a little break, and then come out full-blown 1970s Elvis, usually Aloha from Hawaii or Elvis on Tour from 1972. That's my two favorite ones. And there's in that particular one, there's 27 songs, so that's a one-hour show, the 70s stuff.
Right. Now, there's once you get to know all the nuances, you know, the things that Elvis did and his performance, and albeit there's a lot of songs, but there are only so many. It ended at some point, you know, the material that he was putting out. Do you find new things that you can come up with to put into the show, or is the show generally, you know, the same and the same for the eras?
No, I change my show up quite often. I do have like shows that I will repeat with the same songs and stuff, but always learning new songs. And lately I've been bringing in backup singers and with the band, and now I'm working on the brass horns and stuff like that to come in. So I'm always changing it up. And some of the Elvis tribute artists will bring in the girls and have the dancing girls, but I'm going to stay into more like Elvis himself. Did he never had girls on a stage. Even in Vegas, he didn't do that. Yeah, I'm always changing up songs and changing up suits. I buy quite a few suits, and they're all authentic.
And you've also won some awards for what you do, right?
Yes, I have. I've won. I've placed in the finals in many of competitions. I've won first place on a cruise ship. We had a festival on a cruise ship down in the Aruba area, and placed second and third in many of local competitions and other town stuff.
Now, I know you work pretty closely with other tribute artists, and your production company quite often puts on different shows and whatnot, and specifically with a number of other Elvi, if yes. you refer to them in the plural. How's the camaraderie and the competitiveness among all the Elvis entertainers? Does everybody get along pretty good? You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. In general, I was just at a festival in Napanee 3 weekends ago, and one of the fellows had forgotten his shoes, so I lent him my shoes, and I didn't bring the proper jacket for the song I was singing in the 50s, and he lent me his jacket. So it's like a brotherhood. When we're doing shows together, it's everything's happy and hunky-dunky-dory, but when we're doing competitions, of course, we're trying to be number one, so we kind of stay to ourselves and study what we're going to do when we get on stage, because we are being judged. So we still help each other out, but we are still trying to be number one. So,
sure.
But as far as getting along, we all get along great. Like I say, we'll swap each other's clothes and whatever we have to do to make sure we all look good up there representing Elvis, because we don't want to go up there and, you know, look sloppy or make pretend we're being a clown type thing. It's the real deal while we're up there.
Now, I know your family's quite involved with what you do. Your wife, Angela, is a really big part of this, and I'm sure we wouldn't want to do this without mentioning her and some of your other family that does a lot with Frank E. Productions, right?
Yes, thanks. Thanks for bringing my wife into this. Yes, she's my... she keeps me all together. Without her, I won't be able to run my production company. And the reason we're doing Windsor Superstars Festival now is my wife's a VON. She works for VON as a personal support worker. And we give all the money to VON and Plentiful Harvest. So all the money that comes in on that particular festival goes directly to them.
Great. So there's darn good reason for people to come out and see your Superstars competitions next year, third annual, and I'm sure we'll find information about that on the web in the coming months. I suppose you start on these things pretty early, so.
Yeah, we're actually working on that right now. We're working on a date for next year. We're working on a venue, and we're working on making it bigger and better, and hopefully we get more people. We've done very well this year. It was a success, and we want to carry it through and make it bigger and bigger every year.
You mentioned a little bit earlier that you pretty much perform every week, but the number of shows, you know, that you have the list on your website, and I know you have some things coming up. What have you got coming up in the near future that you might want to mention to listeners?
Probably the best way to see what I've got going on is go on the website. It's frankiecross.com, or you can go to Facebook, Windsor's Annual Superstars Competition. That's where I put everything up on what I've got going on. But I've got quite a few things coming on in the next two months. I got Waterloo, Ontario, Collingwood, Ontario, Huntsville, Ontario, Mississauga, Ontario, Tweed, Ontario, Harrow and Windsor area. That's just to name a few. I've got many of other stuff around the Kingsville area and around the Windsor. So we got lots going on, different tribute acts, not just myself as Elvis, but I'm now bringing in different acts for the shows to bring in different people also, you know, different fans. We don't want to keep it all 100% Elvis.
Oh, that's great, you know, that you bring in other artists and especially some of those artists that are again, no longer around. So lastly, again, I just want to mention your website, www.frankecross.com. Listeners can go there and find out all kinds of information on Frank there. And it was great having you on You Talk to Me.
Yes, thanks so much there, Big JD. And thanks for your time. It's always a pleasure.
And there you have Frank E. Cross, award-winning Elvis tribute artist. Visit Frank on the web at frankecross.com for more information on performances, photos, and videos. Obviously, Elvis is kept alive by his millions of fans all over the world, by his music, and of course, fan clubs. Kay Maher is president of the Windsor-based Elvis Keeps Rockin' fan club, along with her daughter, who is co-president of this Graceland-registered Elvis fan club. She's a collector of all things Elvis, and she's here to talk to us about all this and more on the show today. Kay Maher, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Thanks, Big JD.
It's great to have you on the show to talk to you about Elvis today. You had told me before that you'd seen Elvis a number of times in concert, right?
Yes, I have. I've seen him twice in concert.
Okay.
I was very young, but I still remember. That was in Detroit.
Okay.
Yes, my mother was a big fan, so she took all three kids with her to the concert. So that was very exciting.
And looking back on that, you must be pretty appreciative that your mother had taken you when you were so young.
Yes, I do remember the concerts, and I was only 16 when he died, but I remember the concerts that we went to, and that was very exciting.
I want to talk to you about the fan club, Elvis Keeps Rockin' fan club. Now, this is something that you run. Are you the only one that runs the fan club?
My daughter, my youngest daughter, is co-president with me, and I have a vice president, Ron Trudeau. My vice president knows everything about Elvis. You can ask him any question, and he knows everything. Oh, he's a bigger fan than I am.
How long has the fan club been around for?
I started it in 2002, so we're 13 years now. There was an Elvis show coming to Windsor, and I had no one to go with. And after that, I decided to start the fan club so that, you know, I would never have nobody to go with again.
Was that a tribute concert?
That was an Elvis tribute artist came to Windsor and to a Legion here in Windsor and performed. And he actually went to Collingwood after that same year, and won Collingwood. He was from out west, Robin Kelly. Okay. So he actually did really well. And he appeared here at the Legion on Drouillard Road in 2002. And I'm still very good friends with him and my daughter. My daughter and him are very good friends also. So, you know, you meet a lot of people at these tribute artist events. You meet just a lot of good people, and young people and older people. So it's a lot of fun.
As time goes by, you need to have, I guess, younger people getting involved.
There are Elvis fans all over this world, young and old. So, I mean, Elvis will never die in our hearts.
Especially with people like yourself that are, running these fan clubs. Now, when somebody joins a fan club, do you get anything for your membership, or how does that work?
It's $15 membership a year. I send out newsletters. I send out a Christmas card. I send out a birthday card. We get together. I update them on the shows around town and also the festivals that are out of town. We travel in groups. We can share rooms, share gas expense. We do travel to Collingwood. We travel to Memphis. We do get discount tickets. I can get discount tickets. I have a fan club barbecue. Every year I have a fan club barbecue in my backyard. It's usually in September. And I have 5 to 8 tribute artists that come and perform at my barbecue.
Wow.
And it's like a potluck. I barbecue hot dogs and hamburgers, and everybody will bring a dessert and a salad. So that's a lot of fun. We get about 75 people.
Well, that's pretty amazing. And I would imagine when you started it, it was primarily local, and maybe it still is. But now with the advent of the internet and whatnot, and I know that you have a Facebook page, and we'll mention more about that stuff later. But is everybody still local that's in the fan club, or do you also have people joining now from just about
everywhere? I do have people in Michigan. I do coordinate with the Michigan Elvis Fest. I do have people in Sarnia and London.
And this is not just any old fan club. You're actually registered with Graceland, right?
We are registered with Graceland, yes. We update our membership yearly. I'm invited to the fan club event every year at Memphis for Elvis's birthday and for his anniversary.
So you often go down to Memphis and take part in these events as well, right?
We do. I try to go every 5 years. Obviously, I can't go every year, but we try to go every 5 years on the 35th anniversary. So the 40th is coming up, and anybody who wants to go, we will certainly make sure that we get everybody there who wants to go.
And where's the best place to find and join the fan club? Is it Facebook now, or?
I have an email. It's elviskeepsrockin_fanclub@hotmail.com. And anybody can email me and then their information, and I can send them out a membership. Mm-hmm. I do have memberships, and also the fan club, Elvis Keeps Rockin' Fan Club, is on Facebook also.
I'm also told that you have quite a collection of Elvis memorabilia.
I do.
What do you have?
Oh, my God. I have so much, it's hard to display it all. I have two pinball machines.
Wow, like full-size Elvis pinball machines.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Elvis pinball machines. I have a life-size Elvis. He's bigger than me. I have probably over 100 Elvis plates. I have, you name it, I have lamps, and I have probably about 4 showcases. I have quite an extensive collection.
Do you have anything that Elvis actually owned?
You know what? I actually went in 1999, October 1999, that was the first Elvis auction from the Graceland Estate, and that was in Las Vegas at the MGM, and I had nobody to go with. I went by myself to this auction, and it was awesome. 3 days, they did the 60s, or the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It was just awesome. And yes, I have something from that auction. I have a Christmas card that he gave out the first year he came back, came out of the Army, and it's beautiful. I think I got 3 of them, and it comes, it's a picture of the Graceland Mansion.
Oh, wow.
In the wintertime. And you open it up, and it has, well, 4 different scenes, like the backyard, and it's just beautiful. And it came with the bill of sale. He ordered like 4,000 Christmas cards. So it's my keepsake for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have anything that was signed by Elvis at all?
Well, I do have signed things, but I'm not sure if they're authentic.
Yeah, that's the thing about with memorabilia too, right? That you is the authenticity. There must be places that things can be sent to if you so wanted to.
But yes, there is. There actually, Graceland has started that this past year, that they do have someone that can authenticate your item.
Okay.
Yeah. They just started that, but there are people around that can do that. But Graceland has just started offering that that service. They've started doing an auction now with the anniversaries, with his birthday and with the Elvis Week in August. They've started these little auctions, and they offer that service. So yeah. It's kind of neat.
What would you say is your prized piece of Elvis memorabilia?
That Christmas card is pretty good. I also have the New Year's Eve ticket stubs. I didn't go to that concert, but I do have ticket stubs from the New Year's Eve one he did here at the Silver Dome. Mm-hmm. And I have some stuff that's from the concert years. You know, I have like the hat. If you ever see some of the memorabilia. So I do have some concert items that are authentic. So that's kind of neat. I like the things that were around when he was around, as opposed to things that they come out nowadays.
Sure.
Even though they're nice, it's nice to have something that's old.
Do you have an Elvis lunch pail?
I do.
That's one of the first things you see from, you know, all memorabilia, the monkeys or Elvis or Star Trek or whatever, is always the lunch pail in there.
I have the lunch pail. I have my Elvis mugs, and when you see me, you always see me with an Elvis purse,
because
I have an Elvis purse every day.
Elvis my shirts, pinball, probably clothing.
Oh, yeah. I have a whole dresser full of Elvis clothing.
You don't wear the one pieces, do you, with the collar up?
I do have an Elvis. I have a mannequin right here in my living room with an Elvis suit on it. It's got the American Eagle jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also have the gold lamé jacket.
Have you got a belt? One of the big Elvis belts?
Well, I have a belt that came with the jumpsuit, yes. Okay. Yeah.
You gotta have that, right?
You gotta have that, yes.
That sounds pretty amazing, all the Elvis memorabilia that you have.
I even have Elvis on my house. If you come by my house, you know those big, round Coca-Cola signs?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did one of those signs with Elvis on it. So that's on the front of my house.
Wow.
This big sign.
So you can't miss where the fan club potluck is.
No, you cannot.
So let's talk a little bit about tribute artist events. And, you know, I know that you're involved in some of these things that go on. And you were just a judge recently at the Windsor Superstar Competition, which was second annual. And you were a judge for the first annual as well, I believe.
I was not a judge for the first annual, but I have been a judge for the Windsor Elvis Fest annually. And unfortunately, this year that competition was canceled. But last year, Frank's show did not have the Elvis tribute separate, so it was a little different this year. So he asked me to be involved this year.
And that would be Frank Cross, who is an Elvis tribute artist. He was just on the show. Did you do a number of the Windsor ones? Because that was going on for quite a while, wasn't it? A number of years?
Yes, because the senior centers had started that, so... Mm-hmm. I think they were into their 10th or 11th year.
Wow, were you part of that number of times? Did you judge at those? And
yes, I've been a part of it from the beginning, and I started judging it maybe 7 years ago. I've judged in the Saginaw Elvis Fest, the Collingwood Elvis Fest, which if you've ever been to Collingwood Elvis Fest, that's huge. That is absolutely huge. They just celebrated their 20-year anniversary last year. Over 100 tribute artists.
Impersonating different people or all Elvis only?
All Elvis.
Oh, that's a lot of Elvi.
From all over the world. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Now, when they do something like that, is it a multiple-day thing?
It's a weekend.
And
yeah.
You never get Elvis out?
I never get Elvis out. It's just a lot of fun, and Elvis, you know, was a very talented singer, and his songs are just, they're beautiful, and they're very comforting to me. So even when I'm home, and I've had a rough day, I just put Elvis on, and it comforts me. It's just easy music. I never get tired of Elvis.
Yeah, anybody that enjoys Elvis, I don't think that you could get tired of Elvis or his music. Like you say, it's can be comforting. He did a lot of gospel music. Yeah, he was definitely a very gifted and talented singer.
He was very gifted, and he shared his gift with the world, and we're very lucky to have him in part of our culture. And yeah, I don't think he'll ever go away. You know, he was such a charismatic character, like a charismatic person that, you know, everybody liked a little bit of him, even if they didn't like his music. I think, you know, he was still a very generous person. You know, he never forgot where he came from, you know, and his spirituality. He was just such a charismatic person. How could you not like them? You know what I mean?
If you're not into that kind of music or that age of music, you still cannot deny Elvis's role in our music history.
You know, and it's unfortunate that, you know, in 35 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, the public wasn't as health conscious as they are now. And it's too bad that, you know, I mean, he had a lot of health problems you know, people 40 years ago didn't really take care of their health. They didn't eat proper food. If you ever eat out in the South, it's very fattening food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our culture has changed. That people are very health conscious right now. And it's too bad that he didn't have a fuller life, you know.
I guess we have to say we're blessed with everything that he gave us while he was here, right? So,
yeah.
It's pretty amazing. He touched a lot of people, obviously. I really appreciate you being on the show today. Elvis Keeps Rockin' Fan Club. Once again, can you give us the email so listeners might be able to contact you?
Elvis Keeps Rockin'. Rockin' is R-O-C-K-I-N _ fan club. @hotmail.com.
Great.
And really thanks to Big JD for having me.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thanks, Kay.
Thank you.
Search Elvis Keeps Rockin' Fan Club on Facebook or email Kay Maher at elviskeepsrockin_fanclub@hotmail.com. I'd like to thank both of my guests today, Frank E. Cross, for being on the show, and as well, Kay Maher. This is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Thanks for listening. And there you have interviews with Frank E. Cross, Elvis tribute artist. You can check him out at frankecross.com. And as well, Kay Maher, who runs the Elvis Keeps Rockin' fan club. The page changed on me all by itself. Anyway, and that's registered with Graceland. So that's awesome. That's a pretty big deal. And she's quite a collector of Elvis memorabilia.
What about the Elvis festivals?
Festivals.
Now, there's a certain generation that grew up with Elvis. So there are obviously a good portion of the people who attend these festivals. What's going to happen when these people eventually...
You think it's going to die out?
Yeah. What do you think about that? It's just inevitable and
Elvis... Not necessarily. I think... and I don't know what the... All the reasons are, was it just not enough people down there for the Elvis Fest and whatnot? But they just recently had the Windsor Superstar competition. And I think that's part of it is, I mean, they bring in other tribute artists, entertainers. I don't know that just Elvis is going to sustain so much, you know?
Right.
And to see like 5-6 Elvises perform in a row, like, you know what I mean? Granted, they do different eras and things like that. You know what I mean? Sure. So it's pretty cool. But I think they have to do something more than just the Elvises.
Elvises?
So, yeah, the Elvi. So I think something like the Superstars competition type thing. And I think they'll bill it more as less of a competition.
Yeah.
Frank just talks about that. You know, because a lot of people think, oh, it's a competition, I'm not going to go, like, you know what I mean, kind of thing. But I think, it's a lot of, there's not as many younger people, I don't think, that are getting
into, you know, Elvis.
Yeah, that aren't really aware of just who he is or what he did or the impact. And
it's what made me think of that is because I know a lot, every generation comes up, if kids are attuned to music, like some kids are just, you know, they're just naturally drawn to music in general. Every generation that comes up, I think, has an appreciation for certain bands, like the Beatles, let's say. Like, you know, you can see 10-year-old kids, they're just loving the Beatles. But there's not too many 10-year-old kids that are Elvis people. And I just assume it's because the Beatles wrote a lot of music and they're so prolific and they have all these tunes. Whereas Elvis didn't really write a lot of songs, even though he did have a lot of hit music. And that's another thing, is there aren't many songs, if more than one or two, that Elvis turned into hits.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone else covered it, no, it was never a hit again.
Right, yeah.
Whereas back in those days, that was a common thing. If you were, you know, a song came out, it became a hit. Within that year, two or three other bands would cover that exact same tune because it wasn't necessarily the person who made it a hit that wrote it. Because back in those days, it was a writer and stuff. So I just find it interesting that that nobody can make a hit like Elvis. Mm-hmm. It was these songs that were what they were, and they were as good as they were because Elvis was the person recording it.
Did you know he was honorably discharged with the rank of sergeant?
I didn't know what his rank was.
60 sergeant, yeah.
Cool.
That's a pretty good rank.
Is it
sergeant? Better than a private?
Well, you're
Private Presley.
You're still talking to privates. You're still talking to the
well, it's middle management.
It's definitely middle management. If you're talking corporate structure, sergeant is a middle manager for sure. What about some more Elvis music? Can we play another tune?
Yeah, we certainly can.
What are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to A Little Less Conversation?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
What we're going
to
do.
Let's listen to that right now. A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. We'll be right back.
talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
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 Don't procrastinate, don't let your kidney friends get in the way. You just sit right around.
Keep the momentum up with Return to Sender.
All right.
Return to Sender. Return to Sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it. Return to Sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such song. We had a quarrel. A lover's spat. I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back. So then I dropped it in the mailbox. As in a special D. Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me. She wrote upon it. Return to sender. Address unknown. No such person. No such zone. This time I'm gonna take it myself.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Return the sender.
Address unknown.
So how about Elvis's comeback in, 68 to 73?
Right. So he did
a big special.
He was the 50s crooner guy, had tons of popularity. And then, there was the Summer of Love. And, the musical taste definitely had changed, swayed quite a bit. And there was a whole different culture change as well. And then when Elvis came back...
Well, let me tell you this.
Okay.
Shortly before Christmas 1966, more than 7 years since they first met, Presley proposed to Priscilla Beaulieu, or whatever her last name was. Beaulieu. And yeah. And they were married on May 1st, 1967, in a brief ceremony in their suite at the Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas.
Sweet.
I wonder if they were married by Elvis. probably wasn't going on then. And the flow of formulaic movies and assembly line soundtracks rolled on. And it was not until October 1967 when the Clambake soundtrack LP registered record low sales for a new Presley album that RCA executives recognized a problem. And by then, of course, the damage had been done, as historians Connie Kirchberg and Mark Hendricks put it. Elvis was viewed as a joke by serious music lovers and a has-been to all but his most loyal fans.
Right.
So,
because music was going in a different direction. People valued singer-songwriters a lot. That was a new thing that was coming along. And Elvis was just viewed as a singing head, basically. You know, he's a performer, and that was it. And he took it to an extreme. So there was going to be that niche thing of, if people were going to hang on to him as a fan, you'd stick it out pretty much.
And do you think all the things that he was doing as well kind of clouded, you know, who and what Elvis was to his fans? You know, the movies, and, you know, just keep popping out. Yeah. The albums and, yeah, you know, that kind of thing is...
Yeah, and you know, he may have been one of the first people to invent that phenomenon, you know, artist burnout, like you're just doing something to do it and you're taking it right to the end.
Sure, I wonder if they had Elvis dolls back then.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I would, in the 60s?
Like when Elvis was happening?
Yeah,
like in the 60s. Like they would make dolls now, but...
Yeah.
For everybody?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Did you ever have any dolls?
Just a G.I. Joe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I had G.I. Joe, Action Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I might have had him too. Yeah. I dug that for sure.
But no collectible type Kiss dolls or anything like that?
No, I didn't have anything like that. Nope.
Me neither.
If I was spending money on that kind of stuff, it was the actual album, the 8-track.
So what can we say about his comeback special? It's one of the pretty famous... special, yeah, on television. Absolutely. And even his look and what he wore, and I mean the Franklin Mint plates they made after and all that kind of stuff, like, yeah, it was a big deal.
It was definitely a big
deal. And he had an audience all the way around him, right?
He was in the round.
That's, yes, kind
of
neat.
Yeah, that was, well, back then it was maybe a new type of thing, but it kind of made people realize, okay, this guy is a real talent to contend with, and he's been doing it for, you know, a long period of time at that point when he did do the comeback thing. And it was really the event, I think, that launched him on the second part of his career. Even though once he started getting, you know, maybe a new audience came in and appreciated him for what he was, he turned to the drug scene, which drugs were another part of the scene that was happening in the late 60s, early 70s. And he hopped on board because, you know, he's hanging out with all these other, even though he wasn't all that social.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear stories of people going to meet Elvis, and a lot of people describe it as a surreal experience because it wasn't like just hanging out with another musician. He put himself on a pedestal when he met the Beatles, or, you know, he met all these other artists. He always made you realize, you know, I'm Elvis and you're not.
And this is another tune I really dig. That Elvis did Kentucky Rain. It's a cool song. Cool story.
7 lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home. Thumbing for a ride on this lonely Kentucky back road. I've loved you much too long. My love's too strong to let you go, never knowing what went wrong. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go.
shoes, searching for you in the cold Kentucky rain, in the cold Kentucky rain. Showed you a photograph to some old gray-bearded men sitting on a bench outside a general store. They said, yes, she's been here, but their memory wasn't clear. Was it yesterday? No, wait, the day before. Finally got a ride with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon? As we drove on through the rain, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find in you. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through with the rain in my shoes.
And there you have that old Kentucky rain.
Old Kentucky rain.
Yikes.
I've been in the old Kentucky rain.
You have?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've been in the new Kentucky rain.
Oh, it's not the same.
No, it's not. It's not even in Kentucky.
But I hear it's making a comeback.
Just like everything. Think Elvis will make a comeback when he gets off the island with Jim Morrison and Michael
Jackson?
They
say Elvis isn't dead.
No. There's lots of references to Elvis and him being alive.
So, our show culminates in Elvis's health deterioration, and he is, found on the toilet or something like that? Did he die in the toilet, Elvis?
A lot of people are found in the loo when they die.
That's where I'll be found. I can be found in there anytime.
I was going to say, you enjoy
that's where we do the show. Can't you hear the echo?
Echo.
We have a double seater here.
A double seater?
Mm-hmm.
Side by each or facing each other?
Wouldn't they like to know? So yeah, we lost the king of rock and roll, but he lives on in the hearts and soul of all of those who he lives in the hearts and soul of.
That's right. And he'll always be remembered by his contribution to music in general, but mostly rock and roll for sure. But he was
larger than life, man. He's, you know,
yeah,
he
had gospel albums. He did a blues album. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, it was the whole 50s rock thing that he did. So,
and the movies and
Yeah. Everything
else. He gave away cars.
Probably one of the hugest.
We didn't talk about that kind of stuff. All the stuff that Elvis gave away.
We can do a two-parter.
We could, yeah.
This is easily a two-part show. As it is, it's probably running pretty long.
Yeah, it's definitely running a little longer than our shows usually do.
That's
and
okay.
Let's tell everybody what we're going to be doing next week on the show.
We're going to be talking about music lingo, I thought.
Oh, is that what we're going to do next week?
The language of music.
Yeah.
All those crazy words that you're only going to find in music. Maybe some recording lingo, some words like arpeggio that you use actually in the music itself, or I don't know what else we can think of as far. Well, we can maybe add to the topic or...
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure
something out. Throw in a little filler.
A little filler here and there.
Yeah.
Stick it in there. And I have no
idea. Well, Phil, that's a musical term.
Phil and Don.
Huh?
Everly Brothers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But we're not going to talk about the Everly Brothers next week. We may, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You'll have to tune in to find out.
Check it out next week in your podcast catcher.
And we're going to leave everybody with one more Elvis song here.
Big Boss Man.
See everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Big Boss Man. Can't you hear me when I call? Big Boss Man, can't you hear me when I call? Can't you hear me when I call?
is tall, that's all. Got me a working boss man, working around the clock. I want a little drink of water, but you won't let bigger stop, big boss man. Now can't you hear me when I call? I said you ain't so big, you know you're just tall, that's all. You're just tall, that's all. All right. I'm gonna get me a boss man, one's gonna treat me right. I work hard in the daytime, less easy at night, big boss man. Can't you hear me when I call? Can't you hear me when I call? I said you ain't so big. Just tall, that's all. All right. Give me a boss man, the one that's gonna treat me right. Work hard in the evening, rest easy at night. Big boss man, big boss man, big boss man. Can't you hear me when I call? I said you ain't so big. Just tall, that's all.
Join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.